Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Run the ball that well. They haven't particularly had an explosive passing game. They don't have a rushing touchdown through 2 weeks. But I gotta say, the second box I think they need to check is find some explosives. And whether it's Fred Moore, whether it's Kendrick Bell, whether it's Amarion Walker, Samaj Morgan, Tyler Morris, got to find some explosives. And people will dismiss the end of the game last week and say, oh, you know, Texas let their foot off the gas. Their play calling didn't reflect that offensively. They did get into their depth chart a little bit defensively. There was definitely some guys debuted in the second half of that game when Texas was up 31-6. But there's something to be said if Davis Warren maybe, you know, stop trying to make the safe play and just start trying to make plays. And I'll be intrigued to see if there's any carryover. We might not learn it against this Arkansas State team. Although what's interesting about Arkansas State, their defense, this is a Pat Narduzzi defense. Their defensive coordinator spent a bunch of years as Narduzzi's linebacker coach, and he brought that philosophy to Arkansas State. So, and we know great familiarity with that here locally, but, you know, finding a way to get some explosive plays, and I feel like, you know, there are the guys that were the veterans that played, were kind of role players last year at the receiver spot, and Tyler Morris and Samaj Morgan. Kind of wonder if it's going to be somebody new and whether it'll be a Kendrick Bell and a Marion Walker, a Fred Moore, somebody of that ilk. But I think that would be the second box to check.
Yeah, I think the second box for everybody is going to be the stay healthy. But beyond that and winning the game, right, I agree with you with Michigan. It's somebody has to emerge from the receiving core to be a threat, because right now they don't have a threat beyond Colston Loveland, and they need to find that. I think with both Michigan and Michigan State, everything is going to start with the offensive lines. Both offensive lines have been disappointing, but at least with Michigan State, I think there were strides made from week one to week two. Week two was a tough test to play on the road at Maryland, and Michigan State passed that test. They won the game despite turning the football over. As many times as it did. Aiden Childs, unfortunately, through two games, has been a turnover machine. I think it's five turnovers in 2 weeks. They have to clean that up. But when I look at the Spartans with the game tomorrow, you know, Prairie View is not going to present much of a challenge, but Michigan State still has to go through it, and they have to show that they've made some improvements. I'm not sure if you're going to actually see them other than having – several drives that are going to be 70 yards or more, just taking care of business and march right down the field and go ahead and score. If you're a 40-point favorite, play like it.
I would say here's an important second box to check for Michigan State. Currently, Michigan State ranks 127th out of 133 teams in penalties. And it hasn't cost them a game. It kind of flew close to the sun in week one, but not as, you know, look, last week, some problems, but ultimately, that's something that could cost them against some opponents coming up. So cutting down on penalties, I think, would be another thing that they probably want to do.
Well, I think they did a much better job against Maryland, but there were still some. But the penalties that
they didn't have as many 15-yarders.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they really needed to cut back on, with the dumb penalties, the late hits and all that, and they did. So that was good to see. But, yeah, they still had 100 yards in penalties against Maryland and 10 penalties total in that game. So, yes, I agree. That has to get cleaned up.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. If you want to get in on the Wolverines and Spartans, what would be box number two? Box number one is win the game. Box two, that you'd like to see your team check, Michigan and Michigan State fans. In the meantime, Big Ten with an interesting game, Alabama and Wisconsin. God, I wish this was a vintage Wisconsin team with a great rushing attack and a solid defense, because
alas,
I'd love the idea of SEC teams going on the road, and I especially love them coming to Big Ten country. This isn't as cool as them coming to Big Ten country in the playoff, and they might have to deal with weather, but kudos to Bama for scheduling this game.
Yeah, I give them credit for that, too. And for Wisconsin, they start the season with the wins over Western Michigan and South Dakota, but they haven't scored more than 28 points. They scored 28 in the first, and they scored 27 in the second. And they also gave up 14 and 13 points, respectively, in those games. Alabama obviously has an explosive offense, or an explosive team, and they have been for years. But this isn't a vintage Alabama team, not just yet. But like I caution everybody, it's how they're playing at the end of the season is really what kind of scares you. How much improvement can this Alabama team show? Like, are they closer to their basement, or are they closer to the ceiling? And I think they're kind of middle right now, because they do have a veteran quarterback who can make plays with his feet and he can throw the ball around a little bit. But it's not your typical Bama team that has like three receivers that you're like in awe of, that they have a stable of running backs that'll kill you in a bunch of different ways, and all these playmakers on defense. It's a different team.
Still getting used to this, but Big Ten games, Washington State at Washington and Oregon State at hosting Oregon. These are going to be real grudge match games, because this is the leftovers, the unwanted of the Pac-12 facing an old rival that they can't be happy about getting abandoned by their rivals. So I think one of these games might result in an upset.
Well, and I hope that they keep these games up forever, because one of the true tragedies, I think, in college football is that Pitt and Penn State stop playing every year.
Oklahoma, Nebraska?
Yeah.
And now, by the way, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, that's one that should keep going. And you know, because of realignment and bitter feelings, that things like that don't happen, and yet they should. You shouldn't. These are great rivalries to have, particularly when they're in state.
Yep.
It's so simple. This gives a little juice to this week because of those games. In a week that really doesn't have a ton of juice nationally with games, there's a couple of decent matchups, a couple really good matchups, but it's not like a typical week.
The Notre Dame at Purdue game in the Big Ten got intriguing. A little bit more interesting after last week, huh?
Very interesting after last week. Purdue, I think, is a 9.5-point underdog in this one. But, you know, Purdue can grab you when you least expect it. Just ask Ohio State from several years ago and that one glorious night game that they had. Mm-hmm. And they just have a propensity to come up with big games when you kind of least expect it. But now it's not under the radar at this point, because Notre Dame's on notice. Sure, you beat, was it Wake Forest in the first week of the season? Was it Wake Forest or was it A&M, one of the two?
They went to Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, yep. And
quite a difference there.
well, who did Wake Forest play the first week? Was it Georgia?
I don't remember.
There was a big matchup with Wake Forest. Regardless, they go down and take on Texas A&M, who's not a very good football team at this point, and then they lose to Northern Illinois.
Okay, Gator has a ton of respect for North Carolina A&T, because that's who Wake Forest played in week one.
Is that who they were?
You're thinking Georgia Tech, maybe? Play Florida State.
That was
one game matching Big Ten foes. There's only one game matching Big Ten foes as the Indiana Hoosiers and UCLA Bruins renew hostilities in the Rose Bowl. So there you go. We'll get some Lions stuff. Michigan and Michigan State fans, the number one box to check is win the game. What would be the second box to check that you'd like to see them accomplish in their games tomorrow as Michigan plays host to Arkansas State, or as they call themselves, A-State? Prairie View A&M taking on Michigan State in East Lansing.
Well, they are A-State.
Yes, Arkansas is A-State. But they call themselves A-State. All right, back to some Lions stuff. Plus inside Allen Park at 12:30, 97.1 The Ticket.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.